This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you. It is a beautiful day to be living in Brevard County, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh radio program. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and our church exists at 165 North Grove Street. That's where we meet. We're going to be meeting tonight, and we're going to be having a time of prayer and Bible study. We got a kids class. We got an adult Bible study, a young adult Bible study, and we're believing God for great things here in the days to come. And so we'd like to invite you out tonight at 7 p.m. We're pretty good stewards of our time. We shoot for 8 p.m. A lot of times guest speakers will say, well, what time do you normally conclude? I say, well, I shoot on Sundays. I shoot for 12, but my aim is bad. On Wednesday nights, we shoot for 8. Want to tell you, if you do come, it is a vibrant neighborhood. There's a fantastic Cuban restaurant right across the street from the church. There's street side parking, but all of that's public parking. So we do have a parking lot in the back, Tangerine Avenue, in between Grove and Parnell. And so there's parking back there. And we would love for you to come and join us on Wednesday night as we become disciples who know how to pray and know how to study, know and understand the Word of God. Hope you'll join us tonight at 7 p.m. Today we're going to finish our study of prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 20 says this: Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So as we've been talking about this passage this week, these two verses, we have focused on the ability of God. We have focused on his capacity being greater than what we can ask or think, and that he does that according to the power, according to his power. Now, as I was doing yesterday's program, I remember making the statement that many people only quote the first part of the verse. They don't quote the latter part of the verse. And the latter part of the verse qualifies. Its context has bearing upon the fulfillment of the first part of the verse. So here's what it says: that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think or understand, according to the power that works in us. Not just works on our behalf, not just works for us, but according to the power, the dunamis, that works in us. Now, if you were to look at that Greek word, that word that works there is the word from which we get energy. And so if you go to a power plant, I don't necessarily understand how all of this works. All I know is that they take fuel sources and they convert those fuel sources to energy that transmits through electrical lines. It shows up at your house or at your work. It shows up in your computers and things like that, that energy is made available to charge and to power up things. And so it shows up in your outlets, which then is transmitted to your appliances, so that the energy that was produced at the plant is made available to cause things to work, that if there was a problem with that energy source, those appliances wouldn't work. Here's what I wanted to get across is God is able to do more than we can ask or think, but he does that according to his power that works in us. So that word not only has to do with energy mean work, but it means he's presently working. Not just what he did when you asked him to be your Savior and Lord, but that he is presently actively working in your life. And so I want to encourage you that at Merit Assembly of God, we are unapologetic in believing that the power of God that was on display during Jesus' ministry and the life of the apostles, that power, that energy, that ability of God is still at work in the world today. And so you can see that there are signs and wonders that take place across the globe. And I'm a big proponent of, we don't have to manufacture miracles. God does miracles on his own. I've experienced the power of God. I've experienced the healing touch of God. I've also experienced the healing touch that God made available through doctors and surgeons, and I've done that. I prefer the divine version, in all honesty. But God has made advancements in humanity's existence available so that we're experiencing the benefit of people who had breakthrough. I remember George Washington Carver. He found himself in Georgia, where they had an abundance of peanuts, but their economy was suffering. And so he went into his laboratory and he prayed and said, God, I need you to help me to figure out a way to take this resource and that it can provide economically for people. And so his scientific breakthroughs did not just come because he was intellectual. It came because God answered his prayers. So that brings the question, what is God doing in your life? Because it is not only about the energy. It is not only about the working. It is not only about what he is actively doing, but it is, what is he actively doing in us? So the word works there is in the middle voice. This is how it was explained to me. This had to do with a different passage altogether. And so when I was doing my study here, preparing for this time of prayer, in English, we have active and we have passive. And so active means it is something that I do. Passive means it is something that someone else does to me. Many people pray passively. They pray and they want God to do everything for them. This word, according to the power that works in us, is in the middle voice. The middle voice was explained that it is God actively working at the same time that we are actively working. In other words, the dunamis of God is a divine partnership that is working because God and us are both proactively seeking a divine resolution to the challenge that we face. Okay? So that if we want the first part of the verse to become a reality, we have to ask ourselves the latter part of the verse, what are we currently working with God? What are we currently partnering with God for His unlimited power to be presently working in us? So I had a conversation in prayer with God one time, and it went like this. It was nothing earth-shaking, nothing seriously of a serious nature at all. It was just this. God put His finger on something and He said, "I don't want that in your life." And I said, "God, if it's important enough for You to tell me that, then it is important enough for me to do as You ask, and I'm going to remove that in my life." So we do not have satellite television. That may change come football season. I'm not sure. We made conscious decisions to make sure that there was nothing in our life that had a more controlling interest in our lives, our lifestyle, than what God does. And so together God and I have partnered. And so it's not like we don't have a television. I do have an antenna so I can watch, you know, golf. Sports is about all we can watch on live television. Because we just don't watch the programming. I don't watch the local news. I don't watch the national news. I don't want to subject myself to propaganda. I'm not afraid of news. I just want to focus on good news more than the news that people try and slant and bias and bring me their perspective. So I've restricted what is an input voice because it's a divine partnership. God said, "Be holy even as I am holy." That means that there are some things in my life that I have to use the power that I have and couple that with the unlimited power of God and say, "God, let's work on this project together." Which brings me to one of my favorite sports stories of all time. There was a basketball player. He had come out of the University of Oklahoma, and he played for the Chicago Bulls, and he was on their team the night that Michael Jordan had scored 62 points in the playoffs or something like that. And after the game was over, everybody wanted to talk to Michael Jordan, and so there was a throng of people over around him, and this one individual reporter couldn't get close enough to Michael Jordan to ask him a question, so he went over to this other professional who had that night had scored 2 points, and so he said, "So let me ask you, when you get older and you have kids and you have grandkids, what are you going to tell them about this night?" And he said, "I'm going to tell him about the night that Michael Jordan and I partnered to score 64 points. This guy had only scored 2 points that night. But together, he and Michael Jordan had scored 64 points. Listen, the power of God at working in my life is far greater, far more capable than the power of Bob to work in my life. But when I couple those two things together, all of a sudden the resources of heaven and the goals of heaven and the ability of heaven to work in my life and to work in the Merit Assembly of God is far greater than any challenge that we face. So I read something interesting a few weeks ago. I've known about yoked animals, where there's a stronger animal and there's a weaker animal, and you know that the yoked animal takes the lead. What I didn't understand until I read this article a few weeks ago was that a farmer that used yoked animals instead of tractors and things like that in order to make straight rows, they would manipulate the harness in such a way that the stronger lead animal and the weaker animal continued to pull in the same direction at the same pace with the same goal. And that's what you and I are doing when we are yoked together with Christ. It's not a burden. It's a privilege. We can accomplish things together. All things are possible to him who believes. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do everything that is necessary. So what is the goal? You know, I'm a big believer in context. So verse number 21, to him, capital H, to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, be glory. So to him be glory, to the Father be glory in the church. So anytime someone decides to make it about the glory of themselves instead of the glory of the congregation or the glory of the assembly of believers, the church that God has redeemed by his own blood. Okay? So to him be glory in the church. When we meet together, when we assemble together, we are called the assembly of God or the assemblies of God, because there's more than one of us around the country. Whenever we assemble, it is to God be the glory, great things he has done. Okay? And so that's one of the reasons why I encourage people to be actively involved in a Bible-believing church. Because if the power of God is working in me, and by the way, I will say, to the power that works in us, that means it is more than one. It is a plural. It is not just you and God. You know, there was an old song, me and Jesus, we got it all worked out, or something like that. It was old song long ago. I can tell you, you're not supposed to be doing your spiritual journey and your spiritual life alone. You're supposed to be gathering together with other believers, because the power of God working in us presently, actively, along with us, accomplishes great, great things. It brings glory. That's the church is to bring glory to the Father, and we do it by Christ Jesus. Okay? So it's not about personality. It's not about how much charisma or flair or showmanship a person has. It's about Jesus Christ living inside of us. That's the only way that we can bring glory in the church is by Christ Jesus. I have a belief that the term celebrity and Christian, those two words do not combine well together. And what I'm not saying that if you're a celebrity, you can't be a Christian. What I'm talking about is I don't believe celebrity Christians go well together, because... And I had a conversation with one time a person one time, and I said, in this situation, I would be called to honor you. You'd be called to honor me. I said, I think those lines could get a little blurry. And the person said, oh, I don't think so. And what they meant by that was they thought I would just do everything that they said that I needed to do. That's not the way this works. I operate under the instruction of God. And so whatever God tells me to do, for as long as God tells me to do it, is what I do, for as long as he tells me to do it, where he tells me to do it, so that he receives the glory. And that happens best in a group of believers known as the church. So it continues to what extent? To all generations forever and ever. Amen. So if we want to see, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. My goal is to make sure that the glory of God not only shows up in my life, but it shows up by the work of Jesus Christ that touches generations of believers. I used to, at one point in time, I had heard this message that talked about from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. I also understand that there's from precept to precept. But I believe it was in 2024, it may have been 2023, where God brought my attention to a passage that said from generation to generations, from one demographic, from one lifetime to another lifetime. And so I'm sure that many of the people who are listening are older. I have encountered people when we were taking kids to youth camp and came across some people who were at camp that were from Brevard County, and they said, I listened to you on the radio. We were standing in line waiting to register, and they were teenagers at the time. And I was so encouraged by that. I really was. Because God is not just wanting to save people in my generation, but he's looking to save. Look, there's people who are a generation older than I am. There are people who are a generation younger. There's a generation younger than that, and in many cases, a generation even younger than that. And each one of them deserves to see people praying for Ephesians 3:20 and 21 to be manifest in their lifetime, from their generation. Now, I can tell you that there's been a lot of changes in society with technology, inventions, hairstyles, clothing styles, a lot of changes since I first showed up on the scene, even more since a couple of generations before me. And not all of those changes have been good. You know, I see some of the things that people do now with hairstyles and things like that. And I look at that and I say, yeah, I remember when I was that age. And you're going to look back on that. It's not going to age well for you. It's just not. So here a few weeks ago, I had a flashback reminder on social media. It was a picture of my daughter that showed up in the newspaper. And so I sent a little note to the family text, and I said, "Does anybody remember who this young lady is?" And my daughter was greatly embarrassed about it. She's like, "Burn it, get rid of it." And I said, "Oh, well, I cannot comply with that." I said, if you think that I'm posting a video to embarrass you, if you'll give me some time, I'll do a little research and I'll go find a picture to embarrass you." And she said, "No, I understand. We're good." You know, it wasn't an embarrassing photo that I had posted at all. It was something that a photographer found inspirational, and it wasn't a photographer that I knew. I didn't know anything about it until I saw the picture. So what are we doing to make sure that the generations to follow us understand about the exceeding greatness that God wants to work in them and through them in their lifetime forever and ever? Amen. Okay, look at verse, "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." When I looked up the meaning of that word in the Greek, amen, it meant truly. I truly pray that our churches, when we meet together, that they would not be known as places of futility, that they would not be places known as places of hypocrisy, but instead, I pray that they would be known as places where Jesus Christ, his presence, shows up to bring glory to the Father by doing truly amazing, extraordinarily powerful things as the King of the universe partners with his creation, man. And together we do great, great things that bring glory to him. He's able. He is able. I pray that you and I will be praying that he would be working in our lives, not just to accomplish things, but to make us the people that he wants us to be. I pray that God will work on my character. I pray that he will work on your character, that he will refine us as believers. A person said that in old times, refiners kept heating things up and purging dross off of ore that they were refining. They would know that they had accomplished their goal when they could look into the liquid ore, and they could see their reflection. I pray that people would look at us and see a powerful God working in us. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."